Or I read that most people who rent monthly are, well, some tourists who come to Japan on holiday visas, but mostly kaishain who have to relocate for a few months, or
Yes,
even
that's right.
families who want
Yeah.
to test out the neighborhood and
Yes,
things like that.
so we have those types of tenants and the kaishain. We also have like academics that are going to another university campus for a year or half the year or a few months. We also have people who are coming to Japan not on a holiday visa but to study something, for example, like people who go study martial arts or shoji or whatever the case may be. And also that's usually women, but some people who, like yourself, want to be close to elderly parents for a few months until they get better or until they pass away in some cases. So very, very domestic, but occasionally, yeah, a few foreigners too. Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so right before we get into today's episode, which is awesome, quick reminder that tickets are selling fast for the spring session of the Japan Real Estate Summit, which is happening in less than a month's time in Tokyo and also being streamed online. Both tickets, as well as the gala dinner tickets, have been live for a while now, and physical space is limited and running out, both at the venue itself and even more so at the gala dinner. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, whether in person or online, and you want to hear from all of our amazing speakers on all topics related to this sector and participate in the best and biggest industry event in Japan, hop over to summit.realestate.jp and secure your spot today. We've got Emil Gorgis, Blanca Kobayashi, Tracy Northcott, Anton Warman, Shumatsuo Post, Matt Ketchum, Brett Lee, Chai Kanda, Hiroshi Shimizu, Alicia Kin Wang, Matthew Kyle, oh yeah, and me too, and we'll be covering investments, mortgages, family homes, the Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka markets, creative Akiya and rural rejuvenation projects, short-term stays in Airbnb, renovations, interior design, DIY projects, incorporation, running a property-related or non-property-related business in Japan, hiring, firing, accounting, visas, immigration, you name it. And beyond all, the best collection of amazing attendees. All Japan real estate property enthusiasts, buyers and investors like yourself, whole bunch of industry professionals on and off the stage. And this is, of course, all made possible thanks to our sponsors, Innovatius.com, realestate.jp, Kako Accounting Services, Axolotl Capital, and Cheeky Properties. We simply cannot wait to see you all with us live at the Tokyo International Forum near Tokyo Station, or in the streaming Zoom room, from which you'll also be able to float questions to the speakers on the stage and interact in the chat channel, of course. This event's been the gold standard for the Japanese real estate sector, as far as English content is concerned at least, and it just keeps getting better. So yeah, summit.realestate.jp. Go get yours. All right, so for today's episode, great conversation with a really cool half Japanese, half Swiss first-time buyer in the market for a trendy central Tokyo condo unit for family reasons, but also wanting to try and rent it out by the month when not in use. So we talk about which buildings that might be possible in and how it works exactly, how to deal with owner unions and property managers, what expenses look like when in use and when not in use. So stuff like building fees, insurance, property tax, and so forth. What the monthly rentals market looks like here in Japan, how active it is, who are the typical guests, how to best cater to their needs, and what they find important in these monthly rental properties. We also talk about the purchase process, what the purchase costs consist of and how much they run for, which buildings might be best for monthly rentals, how old or young they should be, and what are the consequences of buying in cheaper, older buildings, particularly as far as yields and building fees are concerned. If it's at all feasible to buy a property for this purpose that's already tenanted with a long-term lease, what's called owner change here in Japan, and if that plan is, that is, to use it for personal purposes as well as monthly rentals. We also chat about how to remit funds to and from Japan, viewings, in particular remote viewings, remote management for folks who don't necessarily have a Japanese bank account, a phone number and address and so forth. And of course, how we might be able to help someone in their situation. So really nice, thorough chat about a pretty specific topic, but a situation that many people find themselves in. Enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you again on the other side. Okay, so let me just go back to your email to refresh my memory.
Yes.
You found us on YouTube, and you're looking to buy an apartment in Tokyo. You're half Japanese. Ah, hajimemashite. Sorry. Nice to meet you.
Yes, hajimemashite. Yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
And your reading skills are poor. You live and work abroad in Switzerland, and you're planning on buying a place in Tokyo, staying for 4 to 8 weeks per year. You take short trips, so you want to have a place to store luggage. Location, Utenji, Nakameguro, Ebisu, Oda. Oh, fancy places. 7 minutes walking to a station. Sorry, go ahead. I'm listening.
Yes, my grandma, she is in a senior home in Utenji. So for the past years, I've been staying in a hotel in Utenji. There is one hotel there. And yeah, my main goal every year is to visit her as much as I can because she's 91 and
wow.
So
is she okay though? Is she feeling okay? Okay in the head, okay in the body?
Yes. She
I
has
mean as far as you can be, of course.
Dementia. Yes, okay. But she remembers everyone and yeah.
That's awesome.
She hopefully is fine for many years.
I wish that on my dad. He's starting with a little bit of dementia now and it's not fun.
Yeah.
But much younger. Okay, so your budget is Sanzen Gohekuman and you want to do short-term stays. So condo units, like you figured out by yourself, condo units are not going to allow short-term stays because the Kumiai needs to allow that and 99%
That's
of them do not.
Impossible, yes.
Near impossible.
So actually,
I mean, sometimes you have a whole building that's owned by investors and then they don't mind, but it's quite rare.
Yes. So I was about to give up on everything, but then I think it was in a video of yours. You were talking about Mansuri Mansion.
Yep.
And I was wondering, is that possible anywhere? Even
legally, yes. Legally, it's considered, as long as it's done for a period of 1 month and with a lease, and even if it's like a simple English one-page lease, that's okay.
Yes.
But the Kumiai still don't like it. So some of them make life quite difficult for the property managers and the guests. Like they knock on the door and, are you doing Airbnb? And don't hang your key box outside the building. Just annoying stuff like that. The short-term stay management, short-term or monthly stay management companies that we'll try to use will look through the owner union rulebook and try to assess how resistant the owner union is to monthly rentals. If they're clearly saying they don't accept it and they don't want it, they're probably going to be challenging to work around. But if it doesn't, if like the owner union rulebook doesn't specifically manage no monthly stays, then it could be possible. So it's a case-by-case kind of thing. We'll look at potential listings and we'll float those listings to local property managers and see what they think and then figure it out from there. But I mean, If as long as you don't advertise on official channels, if you can get your own guests, they could be just your friends staying there, and then it's nobody's business if they help you with utility bills or. But I don't know how involved, like, do you want to be looking for tenants on your own and setting up your own marketing channels and stuff like that, or is that too much?
Well, actually, I was hoping because this condo wouldn't be like for investment purposes. I'm just hoping to cover the yearly and monthly costs
Yeah, I
and
understand
maybe
that.
have a
But I mean,
little bit of profit.
how involved do you want to be with constantly checking occupancy, vacancy, listing? How much is the competition charging? Did I get enough? Like, I'm assuming you don't want to do that all on your own, right? We want a property manager to do that.
Yes, maybe in the beginning because I've never done it, so I don't really have experience. But
So in that case, all I can suggest is that we look at potential listings and then ask one by one, ask the property managers if they think that one would be feasible or not. Otherwise, like you wrote in your email, with a house, it's a lot easier. With a house, you can definitely do monthly rentals, and you might also be able to do minpaku depending on the local coup of like the shuyakusho's regulations. But houses in Japan at this budget in Tokyo is going
Yeah,
to
the
be probably
budget,
a
yes.
relatively
I
older
didn't find
house.
anything.
Yeah, and if you do, it's going to be quite old and in probably not the best condition, and that will come with a few thousand bucks every year in annual maintenance and repairs, even if the structure is intact, which I doubt at this age and budget. So it's more of a hassle, I would say. So if you let's say we find a good condo, but we can't rent it out, then it's not an option for you to buy. You'll only buy if you can rent it out.
Well, I have two listings that I'm interested in
Yeah.
Yutenji Station. So maybe we could check how the management is there, or
We can
as
try,
you
yeah.
said, yes. But yeah, I don't know. It also depends. So I have a few questions on how much the costs are.
Yep.
And I wrote down, for example, the monthly costs, we have the Kandihi and Shuzen Tsumitateki.
Yep.
That's for sure. And then I was wondering gas, water, electricity, how much is that if you don't use it? So the basic
If you don't use it, the
price.
only thing you need to pay is for the power company to keep the connection alive, which is about 10 yen per month. It's not much. It's
Or
like,
all three. So
no,
Sanzen
you don't need to
or
pay for any of them. All of them will just be
Oh.
charged when you use them. The only one that charges when you're not using
Okay.
is electricity, and that's about 10 bucks.
So that's not that much,
And
yeah. And then
your property tax is probably going to be, depending on the size of the unit, probably going to be less than $1,000 a year, hopefully.
And insurance
I shouldn't say that though. That's an expensive Central Tokyo apartment. It could be more. So with each listing, if the listing doesn't specify, we can ask the agent what the last year's property tax was, and it'll fluctuate a bit, but not much.
Insurance, I read or saw that it's about 1,000 bucks in 5 years, something like that.
For a small studio or one bedroom, it's even less than that. For a house, it's about 1,000 a year, usually less
Okay,
than
so maybe.
that. For a condo unit, depending on the size and how nicely it's set up inside, I would assume not more than 1,000 a year. No, for 5 years. I don't know. A house that costs about 15 million yen to rebuild, we get insured for something like Sanjo or Yonjuman for 4 years. A condo unit, I would assume, would be less than that. But because, again, it's a fairly expensive one in Central Tokyo, I can't really tell you until we get estimates. I would hope you're about right. I don't think it'll be much more than that, but we'll need to get a quote from the insurance company and find out.
Okay, and that's like insuring everything for like earthquakes and kasai.
Yes, all
all those
natural
kinds of things, right?
disasters. Yes, the earthquake specifically, the coverage is 50%. So let's say the insurance company covers you up for the cost of a complete new rebuild. In case of a total loss, they might pay you out, let's say, the sans Gyakuman, so you can buy a similar apartment. For earthquake, if it was demolished by an earthquake, they'll pay about half of that.
Okay.
Or
And how
half of
about
what the policy amount is. It could be a bit higher or a bit lower than the actual unit price. So whatever they're covering funds-wise, for earthquake specifically, it will be half. Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in WebDIS Solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company, Innovatius, is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top-of-the-list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month, then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovatius comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com, and his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read, detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today.
And how about, let's say, if I would rent it out for monthly mansion, is there another insurance that I have to have for property damages, or is that insured in the main
Yes,
insurance?
there is about if you do, if it's a long-term tenant, then they get their own insurance policy. For monthly and
Oh,
minpaku,
okay.
you will have to get a, you're not going to have a long-term tenant there because you want to use the property yourself, right? So for short-term and minpaku, you do need to get one, and it's a few hundred dollars a year. We recently got an
Okay.
offer for about sanman, goman for a smaller property, again, like a one bedroom or a studio. So for this one, it might be a bit more, but not more than a few hundred dollars a year.
Okay.
But I mean, that's not an expense that you need to worry about if you're not renting it out, right? If it's vacant, then you
Okay.
probably won't need to pay
Yes.
that. Yeah. And I'm
Yes.
assuming the property managers that handle monthly rentals, I'll confirm, but I think they handle that on your behalf and they put it on hold when there's not a tenant in there. I'm not sure exactly how they do it, but I'll confirm with them and let you know.
Okay.
I'm sorry, we don't have a huge
Okay.
amount of people renting out by the month. We have maybe two customers out of 100 plus that are doing that. So it's not at the top of my head, but we can confirm all of that.
Okay. Yeah, so that was my main question because minpaku is and hotel license is not possible.
Not in the
And with my
contract, no.
budget, I won't be able to buy a house for now.
Or a very
And
old, ugly
so,
one if it's in that area,
yes,
but yeah.
exactly. Yeah, that were the questions for the monthly mansion. I saw or I read that most people who rent monthly are, well, some tourists who come to Japan on holiday visas, but mostly kaishain who have to relocate for a few months, or
Yes,
even
that's right.
families who want
Yeah.
to test out the neighborhood and
Yes,
things like that.
so we have those types of tenants and the Kai Shaen. We also have like academics that are going to another university campus for a year or half the year or a few months. We also have people who are coming to Japan not on a holiday visa but to study something, for example, like people who go study martial arts or shoji or whatever the case may be. And also, that's usually women, but some people who, like yourself, want to be close to elderly parents for a few months until they get better or until they pass away in some cases. So very, very domestic, but occasionally, yeah, a few foreigners too.
But there are not many. Of course, Airbnb would be the best, but monthly mansions, are there a lot of people who look for them, or
No,
would
monthly
you
mansions is a
say?
very active market.
Oh,
Yeah, it's a
okay.
more
It
domestic, again,
is.
more domestic than foreign, but it
Yes.
is a very active market. And in Tokyo specifically, the companies that we can work with often do cater more to foreigners because being in Tokyo, they have, easy access to bilingual staffers, which is harder in other parts of the country. So we do have more of an exposure to foreign tenants if it's specifically in Tokyo compared to other cities.
And then I have a few questions for the costs and prices, when
For the
I've
purchase.
when if I found it. Yes, for the
Yeah.
purchase. So I wasn't sure. I've seen so many videos, and I was wondering the buying price plus how many percent would be the end price.
At
And I
this price
found
level, it's probably going to be around 10%, I would say.
around 10%.
Hopefully, a
Okay.
bit less. Yeah.
So
We normally
there's
say
the
10 to 15, and pricier
10 to
properties
15.
would be closer to 10, and this is one of the, I mean, it's not super pricey, but it's not cheap. So I would assume it'll be 10% or a bit less. We don't know the actual numbers until we get the official evaluation, and that's always going to be a bit different to the market price. And then the Shihoshoshi, the legal and registration fees depend on that official evaluation. And the purchase tax, which is a statement you'll get after settlement, that also depends on the official evaluation. So we only know those exact numbers a lot closer to settlement, but I can't imagine it'll be more than 10% now.
That's good. Check my questions. Oh, I was wondering, I have two listings that I'm interested in, and one of them, or the second one, it wasn't written, but one of them does not have an elevator. Is
Which
that a
floor is
big
it?
no-no? I
It depends
think
on
the
you. You're the
third
one who's going to
floor.
be climbing. Third floor?
Yeah, I don't mind, but
Yeah.
maybe for renting out, people, you would say no in
I mean,
Tokyo,
the
do you need
higher
an
it is
elevator?
without an elevator, it's tougher for sure. Fourth and fifth floor, I
Yeah.
would definitely avoid. Third floor is like borderline. Some of the guests will not be too crazy about it. The listing might not even mention it, but you're probably not going to get the best reviews if you don't tell them in advance. So it's maybe a better idea to aim for first or second if it's without an elevator, but third is doable. I wouldn't go beyond that though.
And then when I was looking for properties, I heard about the Shintaishin Kijun and Kyutaishin
I don't think I
Kijun, the
know what that
building
is. Can you?
year. I
Oh,
think there
okay.
is like a difference since June 1981.
Oh, the earthquake resistance standards thing. Yes.
Yes. Is that something really important,
Well, I
or?
wouldn't buy anything this old in any way, regardless of the earthquake resistance standards, because as the building approaches 40 years of age-ish is when the building fees will start going up a lot more rapidly because it needs more maintenance, more renovations on a more regular basis. 1981 is already getting close to 50 years, so I would aim for 30 years and younger on purchase if you can. If your budget doesn't allow for that, maybe at least try to stay as close to that as possible. But yes, 1981 would definitely be already. Well, I mean, just because you're looking at the listings now and you're seeing, I don't know the listings, but maybe they each have like $100 a month or $200 a month in monthly fees. As the building approaches 40 years, and depending on its renovation history and how much they've got collected in reserve, but it is quite possible, for example, that 10 years down the track, you'll be facing a double amount of monthly fees, right?
Okay.
So number one, we need to make sure that that's still feasible for you if it happens, a bit sooner than we thought. And also, obviously, it's going to be eating into whatever rental income you can get because, if you're making 500 a month and you're paying 400 a month in building fees, it's not much left over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would definitely try to aim as close as possible to 30 years and younger if you can.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Can I send you both of the listings
Yeah,
that
we
I
can look at
have
them
and
now if
maybe
you
you can
want.
look
Put them
at
in the
them?
chat and
Okay.
yeah, I'll share my screen. We'll look at them together.
Let me check how to do that.
There's a little chat balloon at the
So,
bottom.
yes. Well, both of them are not. They are, I think, over 40 years old, but let me just can I just copy the
Yep, that's it. And then let me share my screen. Show me the interior. Oh, there's the interior. Nice renovation. The interior definitely doesn't look 40 years old.
Yes, they did an innovation, and it's 1 minute from the station, which is really nice.
I get it, but if you're saying it's 40, yeah. Getting there. It's not young.
Yes.
But I mean, it's not that far from 30 years old, so I'm maybe kind of okay with it. I mean, you're not an investor per se. You really want a place that'll serve you and then try to make a bit of money off it. So it's
Yes.
not as crucial as yield calculations that I would do with investors. But how much are you paying per
So
month?
this one,
Is that the only thing they're
actually,
charging per
I
month?
was
That's
wondering
weird.
because it's written no kandinin. So this is something I wanted to ask you, how this works. Like, because the building actually has on the first floor, there's like a flower shop, and the second floor has a kickboxing
Oh, it's only
studio.
10 units. That's why there's no Kanrinin. So the Kumiai is
Okay.
managing it on their own.
Oh, and that's not something weird or
No,
like.
it's definitely not weird. A lot of small buildings do
Okay.
it that way. The flower shop and the kickboxing gym are probably just tenants, right? So there's an owner
Yes,
who
I think
owns
so.
those commercial properties at the bottom, and they're one of the owners in the building. The tenants are not involved in any of the management. The owner union, it depends on how serious and how knowledgeable they are. So some of the units, some of the property, like properties like these that are, oh, that's a 1DK. Yeah, so that could be a mix of investors and owners occupiers. If it was all family sized units, for example, it's most likely going to be mostly owners occupiers. And if it was all 1R, 1K, it would probably be all investors. This could be a bit of a mix. There's definitely at least two tenants we know at the commercial level. So it depends on if there are a lot of investors in the owner mix, then they'll try to minimize costs so they can get maximum yield, and then the building wouldn't be that well managed. If it's people who are owners occupiers but just don't have a lot of property experience, they maybe just don't know how often they should commission a building inspection check, and maybe they're not taking real good care of the building. So the way we find out is when we submit an application to purchase, we'll note on the application that it's pending due diligence information on the building. And then the listing agent will start sending us information about the building's renovation history, how much they've got collected in reserve funds, how many of the owners are delinquent in paying their monthly fees. Based on that, we'll try to kind of assess how well managed it is and how likely it is that building fees will rise sharply in the near future. But I can tell you now, with this tiny amount that you're paying every month in
Yes.
fees, that's weird. I would assume that
Yes,
they're, if
that's what
that's the
I
case,
thought.
they are maybe just, whenever they need to do something, they're asking each of the owners to pay a few thousand bucks each or something of that sort. So I'm not sure. I won't know to tell you until we make some inquiries with them.
Okay.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in, fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know they're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today, see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
That looks a bit... Wow, beautiful renovation.
Yes, I really fell in love with this one. Wow. It's a little over my budget, but I was like, if this one is possible,
that's gorgeous. I'd move in there tomorrow. That's amazing.
Yes.
Okay. And this one is 1980. Yeah. That's
it's also
pushing it. It's a shame because it is beautiful. How much are the building fees now? Okay, see, that makes more sense.
Yes, that's what I thought as well.
But the thing is that, again, we can check the renovation history, the reserve fund they've got collected and everything, but there's a fairly good chance that this, what's this, like just under Sanman Yen, good eye? Oh, no, Niman Gosen, Niman Doksen. So let's say the Niman Doksen within the next few years turns into, I don't know, Yoman Gosen or Goman. Are you still okay with paying that every month?
It would depend. Maybe I could, you know, as you said, work more hours to put in people, and if it would cover it, then it wouldn't be a problem, I think.
Hopefully not you. Hopefully the property manager will be able to put people in, so you wouldn't have to work. But we don't know that. I mean, monthly rentals are not as fluctuating as minpaku, but they do fluctuate depending on what's happening in the economy, the season of the year, if there's more company relocations happening or less, if, you know, another COVID hits and the borders close again, that'll have some effect for sure. So even if you start off with good tenancy rates and generally high occupancy, it doesn't mean that it'll always stay that way. So we want to look at a worst case scenario and say, okay, let's say it's Goman per month and there are no tenants for, I don't know, 6 months or a year at a time. Are you still okay with that?
Yeah, for
me, it's cheaper than a hotel, but still.
Yes. I thought about the worst case scenario. Maybe I could even just rent it out, you know, like not long monthly, term. But long term. And then I could still find someone, I think, with this location. And
long term tenants, without a doubt, you'll always find someone.
Yes. Yeah. So that and hopefully would be my really pay... worst case scenario.
I guess from my perspective, you might be different, but from my perspective, when a customer wants to do that, what I'm looking at is to make sure that the property pays for your trip to Japan, right? So if there happens to be like a really good tenant in there at the time, whether it's a monthly one who just wants to extend or it's a long-term one, then will use their rental money to get you into a hotel for that period of time, right? So,
yes.
Or Airbnb if you want to go cheaper. So it's possible, but worst case scenario, $500 a month for a year, then you would want to, yeah, turn it into a long-term rental because that's going to be hurting,
yes.
Right? Yeah. As long as you're okay doing definitely. That, then that's always an option, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would still avoid something as old as that, because even with the long-term rentals, if you're paying Goman a month and the tenant is paying, I don't know, Juniman, and the building fees are, you know, going up, not down, it's not going to be a very profitable investment. At some point, it might not even be worth it because it's not covering your hotel prices, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I'd aim for younger if you can, although I feel your pain because that one looks gorgeous.
This is really gorgeous, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You're the boss. We'll help you buy whatever you want. I just want to make sure it doesn't come back to haunt you later because you're suddenly paying much more than you thought.
Yes. Another question was the Daikibo Shuzen Koji. I heard that all about 12 to 15 years, there's this repair koji that
large
they do with the
yes.
repair fund. Yes.
Correct. Yeah. Well, I mean, as the building gets older, it's more like 10 years. When it's just built, it's more like every 20 years. And in between, yeah, around 15 years, Gura.
Is it possible before we make an offer to check if how much is in the repair fund and
that's part of the due diligence that we'll do
repair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Of course, yeah, but it's not before an offer. The way it works in Japan is the offers are not legally binding, so you don't need to put any money down.
Okay.
but Japan being Japan, it's assumed that you'll politely proceed if the due diligence information checks out. So we can definitely put in an offer and say this offer is pending the total reserve funds amount in the last 10 years renovation history. And then if we don't like the information that we receive, there's definitely no problem to pull back. No one's going to be offended. But we
wouldn't be a problem for you.
No, because we write it on the offer. We write on the offer that this offer is pending. Kore. So that's not a problem.
Okay.
What we want to avoid is you just changing your mind and submitting an offer and then say, oh, actually, I found this one. Forget about that one. And that would offend people. And that agent will not work with us or any gaijin again. So that we want to try and avoid. But as long as we write on the offer that it's pending ABC, that's never a problem.
Okay. So these are not informations that you could just check without making an offer.
We can. The thing is, the agent would normally be contacting. If the seller already has that information handy because they've tried to sell it, for example, and the sale didn't go through, then they have it prepared and they'll give it to us. That's not a problem. In most cases, they'll have to contact the kumiai, and sometimes they'll have to pay a small fee to get the updated report. And most of the agents would not do that before they have an offer.
Okay. And then
you're saying
I
you don't read
saw...
Japanese, but your Japanese sounds way more professional than mine. I'm a bit jealous.
No, I can read better than write, but like really difficult kanji for contracts, I can't read.
Yep.
But speaking, I understand everything, and I can. I think I speak better Japanese than English. My English
way
is
better
a
than
little
anyone
rusty.
I've met. But it's funny. Like I can actually identify the kanjis on the contracts because I've seen them so many times. But regular daily kanjis are beyond me. I don't know those.
Yeah, so I also have a few questions concerning investment properties.
Yep.
That would be maybe in 1 or 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking because of your videos, real estate is really interesting in Japan because of the prices as well. I was wondering, I found these Ona Chenji.
Yep.
I've seen a few videos about that, and it's basically, you buy a condo that's already rented out,
yes,
right?
Tenant already in there, correct.
Is that something interesting, or Would you rather
I mean, there's
say it's not
advantages to
important?
buying vacant and there's advantages to buying occupied. Most of our clients are just looking for smooth monthly income. They don't want to buy directly into expenses. They prefer to buy directly
Yes.
into income. So most of them do buy owner change. But when you buy owner change, because Japan's tenancy laws don't allow anyone to have an inspection of the interior if there's a tenant in there. So when you buy owner change, you have to kind of assume what the interior condition is. So if somebody just moved in, for example, a year ago, and we've got photos from that time, then we can kind of guess that it's still in good shape. If you had like elderly gentleman who's been living there for 15 years and smokes like a chimney, obviously the interior condition would be a lot worse when they actually move out or pass away or whatever the case may be. So the advantage with buying vacant is that you know exactly what condition the property is in, and you know that you don't need to have a big renovation anytime soon. But then you're buying into a few months of vacancy and building fees and expenses until you actually find a tenant. Advantage of owner change is that you're buying straight into income, but you have to take a little bit of a gamble with the condition of the interior. They're both very viable options, especially in a location like that. Buying vacant and finding a tenant wouldn't be an issue.
And then one more question. So actually I have a bank account in Japan,
Okay.
and I was wondering if we find something and we make an offer and everything goes well, how is the process with paying? Like, because I'm not sure, I can't access my account from here.
Ah,
There's
okay.
like this online thing that I can only access in when I'm in Japan.
Okay.
And otherwise, I just have the tsucho and the income.
I'm
So I was
assuming that the
wondering.
bank, you haven't informed the bank that you're not living in Japan anymore, right?
No.
Yeah, because they might suddenly recognize that you don't, and then they're obviously not going to take your money, but they might freeze the account until you close it and transfer funds elsewhere. So that's a situation that we don't want to be in when we've got a settlement deadline coming up. Like you've transferred Sanzen Gomen into that account, and then suddenly we can't access it. We want to avoid that. So I would recommend to keep your funds overseas until we're closer to paying the deposit or settlement or whatever needs to be paid, and then transfer it directly to the agent who'll be handling the sale, and they'll do the distributions domestically. Do you have you're living in Switzerland, so your funds are in euro?
As Swiss francs.
Oh, that's right, Switzerland is not euro.
Yes, Switzerland
Okay,
is not here.
I need to check with our so we work with two foreign exchange providers. Whatever you do, transfer your funds, I mean, do the conversion to yen via a foreign exchange provider. Don't let your bank convert that because they'll always be worse off by somewhere between 3 to 5 yen to the dollar or to the euro. So if we're talking about, just as an example, like something like $300,000 times, let's say 5 yen, then you're going to be losing about hyaku gojuman just because you've used the bank and not the foreign exchange transfer, right? So don't do that. Sign up with, there's one called Wise, which is the best for smaller
Yes, that was
transfers.
my next question. I found this app. Wise. So this is something safe.
Yes, Wise is safe. They are very cost effective for transfers under 1 million yen, under hyakuman. Beyond that, their fees are not very competitive. For bigger transfers, we use OFX, which doesn't have a limit like Wise do. But OFX are a you also get a if you sign through our referral link, because we're a corporate account with them, you'll also get a access to our corporate account manager, which is also very useful to have, because if you just booked in a big transfer and you need to make some changes, you want to make sure exactly when it's going to arrive, you have compliance issues. With Wise, when you reach out for support, you'll just get a random person in their call center or their customer support center. With OFX, you'll have a dedicated account manager that you can always talk to directly via email, and they'll be the ones handling everything on your account. So for the actual purchase price, the big chunk of money, I would go with OFX. And for all the small payments before that, like our consulting fee, or if you pay somebody to go and view a property for you, or if you need to pay somebody like the deposit, the 10%, oh, that, no, that's already Sambyakugojuman, isn't it? Yeah. So anything up to Hyakuman, I would use Wise.
Okay.
So sign up with both. I'll send you, let me just reply to your last email with both of those referral links. And if you use those, we'll both get some bonuses too, which is also nice. Now, here's some big news for anyone interested in Akiya, the abandoned vacant homes that are abundant all around Japan for very attractive purchase prices. Akiya Mart, our latest sponsor, is a recently founded online search and discovery tool for Japanese real estate. Its user interface will be very familiar to users of Zillow or Redfin. The platform essentially scouts the internet for property listings, translates them into English, and displays prices in US dollars, all in one place and with a dynamic map interface that makes browsing, finding, and shortlisting your favorite properties a piece of cake. Which any of you have been struggling with the dozens, if not hundreds, of Japanese property websites that are available online and their very clunky interface will probably find a real blessing. They've got already over 500,000 listings on the platform, and the database is expanding daily. Ranging from abandoned rural homes to luxury urban properties, Akiya Mart makes it easy to find your dream home in Japan, regardless of your budget. Now, while the platform is essentially free for use, here's an exclusive offer for listeners of the podcast. You can use the promo code NTI to receive $5 off Akiya Mart Pro. The subscription will unlock a bunch of very attractive features for you, including unrestricted access to the entire nationwide property database and a whole range of filters, which will help power charge your search for that elusive perfect home and make it even easier. So hop over to akiya-mart.com. That's AKIYA-MART, akiya-mart.com, and kick off your search today.
Concerning the home inspection, is that possible if there's a property or maybe one of these two, if it gets more interesting, is it possible that someone would go there and just have a video call?
Of course.
Or an inspection? Yeah. That's possible. Okay.
Yeah. We'll be working with Tokyo agents. If the listing agent can't do it for us, then a proxy on our behalf, whether it's a buyer side agent or one of us, will go there on your behalf and do that. That's not a problem. And I'll just reply to your last email with a Forex provider referral links. Sign up using these. Wise is fairly easy for onboarding. OFX check a little bit more. They want to make sure who you are, where you're coming from. When you sign up with them, don't say you're a resident of Japan. They're actually not allowed to onboard. They're not a financial institution licensed entity in Japan, so they're not allowed to onboard Japanese residents. Say that you're living in Switzerland. I mean, you are living in Switzerland, so just make sure you don't tell them you're living in Japan, because then they might reject the application to onboard.
Okay.
And I'll send you those two referral links now. If you have any issues with the onboarding at OFX, let me know and I'll loop that account manager in for you.
Okay. And oh, so one more question I would have is, I'm not sure when I will be visiting Japan this year.
Mm-hmm.
I will definitely visit, but I'm not sure if it will be spring or maybe summertime. If we find something, is it still possible to get it before I come? Or
yeah, we don't
do
need
I
you
have
that.
To be present? For the keys contract and things? No. Okay.
No, you don't need to. Also, after you purchase, I'm assuming you're still going to be living majorly in Switzerland, so we can also manage the property for you. And if you don't get your bank account sorted out, we can pay your utility bills for you. If you rent it out, collect your rental income for you, and then we'll give you an annual statement once a year, and you tell us when you want us to send your funds back home. Or if we're not renting it out, we'll tell you when you need to top it up because we're running out for expenses.
Okay, so that could be managed. I guess the bills can't be paid online, and I I could use your services for
You can use our
all these
services, depending on
payments?
them, depending on the municipality, you might even be able to just pay them with your non-Japanese credit or debit card. I'm not sure, but each municipality or each utility company rather has different regulations on that. So we'll have to check. We'll try to sign up, and then based on the information they'll give us, we'll tell you if you can pay directly or not. You'll also, if you're not using the property and it's not being rented out, you'll probably want to get light cleaning and airing done once a month or two, because it gets very humid and the cubby can be a major thing. So we can organize that for you as well.
That's great. So I think that's all the questions. So what would be the next step?
So have you read through our explanation of services document? You've got a rough idea of how we work and what's involved.
Yes, it's I read through it. Yes. You
Okay.
need some kind of
Power of
sign
attorney
from
document.
you,
Yes.
right?
Yeah. But I'll caveat all of that to say that we're a bit swamped with clients until the middle to beginning or middle of next year. So if you want to start before that, what I'll do is I'll put you directly in touch with a foreigner-friendly agent. They'll be able to handle the process with you, in your case, in Japanese or in English, whichever you prefer, but remotely, definitely, same as we would have done. They're agents, so the kind of conversation we just had about the age of the property, the monthly fees, maybe watch out for this, watch out for that, they're usually not going to have with you. So if you want us to hold your hand, it's a few $100 and we'll consult you along the purchase process just to make sure you're not making any mistakes, review the documents before you sign, that kind of thing. Or I can just introduce you to an agent and you can just work directly with them. Don't feel obliged to hire us. We're fine if you just go direct.
Yeah, I think maybe for some things I might ask you if you can join
Yeah, of course.
because it's the first time
And
you
it's
have
the
much
one
more.
you're purchasing is actually not so cheap, but it's also going to be not so new because it's central Tokyo. So maybe a
Yeah,
good idea to have
it's
somebody
better to
just
have
looking over your
someone like
shoulder.
you. Yes, exactly. But yeah, I think the first thing I have to look for is I'm not sure if I can get the document in English because the main language where I'm living is German or French. So I will ask.
That document is only required if we're representing you fully. We're not going to be doing that. We're just going to be consulting. So in that case, we just need that 10-hour retainer paid. It's just an invoice. But when the buyer side agent goes and starts signing documents on your behalf in here in Japan, they will need not exactly the same document as that, but they will need a document signed or a couple of documents signed and witnessed in Switzerland. So that can be in French. They will probably just ask you to add a short translation to English or Japanese, or Japanese easier. Add a short translation at the bottom there. Usually the Legal Affairs Bureau will accept that.
Okay, and if it's in English, it's okay. They don't need a translation in
If it's
Japanese,
in English,
or
it's fine. Yeah.
okay. I'll just make sure to find someone who can do it in English, hopefully.
Don't go crazy over it. We can handle it with French. That's fine. I mean, and I'm assuming you can give us like that little translation, right? It doesn't have
Oh,
to
I
be
can do it.
a
It doesn't
yeah,
have
it
to be a
doesn't have to be an
lawyer.
official certified translation. They just want to know
Okay,
what's
so
in there.
then it would be German, and I'll just write that down.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, great. So in your opinion, I should keep on looking and both of
Little bit
these.
younger. The first one is not bad. The first one is, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years off what I would normally recommend. But I mean, that's more strict of a recommendation for investors, which is not exactly your case. So the first one is not bad if you can live with it, with the building fees potentially doubling in that. It's a little bit younger than, not a little bit, a lot younger than the other one, like 10 years younger almost. So an option, but yeah, maybe let's look for a few more listings. I would maybe try to a little bit compromise on the walking distance to the station, and instead of that, go for something a bit younger, for example. If you can, if that's possible.
So I'll keep on looking and how is the process? Can I send you the listings per email or is.
If you want me to be a bit more responsive, WhatsApp is better or Line? Are you on WhatsApp or Line?
Yes, I think we already had contact online. I
You did?
asked you for the
Oh, online. Okay, online. No,
video
no. I was
appointment.
looking for you on WhatsApp. That's why. Okay, let me have a quick look just to make sure I have you there. Stephanie Greeter. Yes, I do have you. Okay, so send
Yes.
me that final shortlist here online, and we'll have kind of chat that we just had now, just via line, and I'll tell you what I think about them. And once we get a final shortlist, which I guess in your case, is just going to be maybe three or four properties, not more than that.
Yeah.
Then I'll kick off the introduction to the agent, and we'll take it from there.
Okay, great. So I'll keep on looking and then I'll send you the listings.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thank
Great.
you.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Pleasure. Bye-bye. So there you have it. Really nice conversation. Super nice person. I really enjoyed speaking with her, and I cannot wait to see how she'll do with the purchase. I'll keep you posted here if she'll allow me to. And if you'd also like to see and hear about more case studies like hers and others in similar and less similar scenarios, I and the rest of our awesome speakers and participants will be thrilled to see you with us in person or online via the stream at the Japan Real Estate Summit, Spring 2025 session, 12, 13 April, Saturday and Sunday in Tokyo or online. Hop over to summit.realestate.jp and grab your tickets to the event and the decadent gala dinner we've got planned for you today. No, seriously, what are you waiting for? Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com, and he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.